there's lots of Aboriginal people who would say that the history is past, present, future. It is definitely the present. So it's how we understand our relationship to this thing we call the past. But it's actually about what we are doing in the moment, in the present.
Mm.
Because we are all, you know, I remember reading this beautiful quote from Claudia Rankine, who wrote a book called Citizen, an American Lyric. And it's really talking about kind of race politics in America at the moment. She says, you know, the world is wrong. You can't put history behind you. You are its cupboard. Everything is buried in you. We are all, in fact, completely a product of this time before. And how much of that we can actually cope with bringing into the present is really also about how much we can imagine futures that aren't apocalyptic. You know, we have to be able to imagine futures. Donna Haraway writes about it as being in the thick present. So really how we manage to live in the thick present without projecting ourselves into the future or into the past is actually the kind of process of learning how to not be capitulating between, you know, but actually being in the present, which is as much about the future and the past as it can be. Because we're only ever here. We're only ever going to be in the present. But we have to have that understanding of how we fit in this, you know, what Alexander Wahili might describe as a racialized assemblage, or, you know, there's this kind of idea of entanglements that Karen Barad talks about, which she talks about in relation to quantum physics. She says we can change, we can't erase the past, but we can change it. And that's through our understanding of it. We can change our relationship to it.
Our relationship to it.
Yeah, but she also says that you can demonstrate that through quantum physics. So it's quite a profound lifting, a connection between quantum physics and cultural studies as discipline. So this is a kind of, she's like cutting edge thinker in what now is described as the post-humanity. So it's this idea of post-human. But for me, because she's a non-Indigenous academic, but for me what's really profound in that is that Aboriginal people have always seen the world in these ways, that it's magical and it's scientific and it's big, big, huge stories that resonate particular truths through time. And some of those truths stand the test of time. They're very, very strong sets of ideas that you can live by. But it's also about it's a magical world of fantastical stories of huge, beyond your understanding. It's things that you can't possibly ever know, but you can catch a glimmer of them and it helps you survive.
And how poor is your life if you never even get a glimmer?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
Well, it's kind of beyond the, this idea of humanity and this idea of what is a life. And I guess it's also about this idea of what is this idea of freedom that I think people need to interrogate. Because I think that this idea of freedom of the whiteness allows that you could know anything, you could travel anywhere.
The world's your oyster.
Yeah. I think that that's misguided.
Mm.
No one can ever escape suffering. And also, we're not all going to be able to achieve, and nor should we want to know everything. It's an impossibility, but it's also something that you shouldn't even strive to do. Mm. Some things are unknowable and we should accept the unknowability.
Mm.
But more than accept it, honour it. because some are really irrelevant.
Mm.
There's things that are important. You know, there's not an equal, it's not leveled out here of knowledge. Some knowledges are really important.
Mm.
And some knowledges are just not. And people need to choose what they're thinking about really carefully, because we can cast any kinds of spells over ourselves and over the world of want and greed and all sorts of things, but it's actually not benefiting anyone. And also really thinking about sentient life other than our own.
Mm.
So the trees, like really, really old trees, or animals, and the kind of the planet, the rest of the planet, human life above all else, is also a really dangerous trajectory. You know, like, I don't know what success is, but I do know that it's doomed for deep unhappiness.
Mm.
It's going against all of the incredible gifts that we have. Completely. It's doomed for suffering.
And there's a sense of belonging too that you don't get when you have this view of everything as yours to take. It's, you can't belong to anything when you're just taking.
And there's a real arrogant perception associated with it,
mm.
that also is about this sense of yourself, where I used to think about it a lot. You know, when you speak, you take up space, and sometimes it means that other quieter voices can't be heard. So, and when you travel, you displace a whole lot of things in the actual physical process of traveling. And you might not know anything about where you're going, but for me, when you arrive in a place, you know, for Nungas, there's that real sense of the spirits of country. So I always feel almost like a child, like a toddler or something, when I arrive in a new place. If I don't understand where I am, so I don't know the old stories of that place, I don't know any of the elders, or I haven't met them yet, and I haven't connected with people who've thought deeply about what that country is, I would never assume that I could make decisions about a place in that way. Like, I wouldn't go somewhere and think, oh, I can just rule the roost here.